wish you to turn with me this morning to the same passage that we had last Sabbath day, namely the 8th chapter of Ecclesiastes, but this time we shall look at the first verse, which I will proceed to read. Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. In this verse we have a remarkable description of a true conversion. We explain our text briefly by pointing out that the wisdom that is spoken of in this text is no ordinary wisdom. It is the gospel wisdom, the hidden wisdom of God. When a man is acquainted with this wisdom, he will sell all that he has in order to obtain it, as the parable tells us. And he will consider no search too great a burden upon him, no matter how exacting, how long it may last, that is devoted to the understanding of this word of God, the hidden wisdom. Who is as the wise? Who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. The gospel, therefore, is the hidden wisdom of God. It unfolds all mysteries and answers all questions, for who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? It changes the aspect of things for those who have it, filling the soul with light and peace and joy. A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine. Where before there existed only the resisting of the word and the love of sin, the boldness of his faith shall be changed. So that we have these four things spoken about, the hidden wisdom of God, which is his word, and the gospel of grace conveyed thereby. These four things. First of all, it is hard to come by. Secondly, it is very rewarding when you have it. It unfolds all mysteries. Thirdly, there is that in it which rejoices the heart. And fourthly, the soul that has it no longer resists God, but yields to his word and will. The boldness of his face shall be changed. Who is the wise man? Is the question which is asked. And we suggest by our first head that wisdom is hard to come by. And this is expressed in the fact that the statement is made in the form of a question. Who is the wise man? Or as the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians, 1st chapter, verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? He means to say that wisdom is hard to come by. Not many people have it. We must not expect it to be a general commodity, or a thing which can be easily obtained, as people will go to the counter and place their order, offer their money, and receive the reward of their price. This wisdom is not obtained that way. The form of being in the form of a question. Who is as the wise man? This indicates that wise men are hard to find. For if wisdom is the knowledge of God and of salvation, we may well ask that other question, which is put in Isaiah 53, who hath believed our report? Which means that so few have believed that heaven itself is astonished by the fewness of them. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who is as the wise man who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? Whichever way we look at it, it is clear that those who are saved are greatly outnumbered by those who are lost. However great the number of the redeemed, the number of those who are lost is greater still. Few there be that find it, says Christ. Many there be which go in thereat, at the gate which leadeth to destruction. So that there is in our text this morning a solemn warning and encouragement for each one of us towards self-examination. It has been well said that modern methods of conversion and of the preaching of evangelical religion seem to bypass the old-fashioned doctrine and practice of self-examination. And yet I think we would all be agreed, wouldn't we, that there is no more healthy occupation in which we may engage than to examine ourselves from any angle, from any point of view. Even the world has a saying, take a look at yourself. And there is some strong, crude wisdom in the expression. Examine yourself, says the apostle, as to whether you are in the faith. Look to your priorities. Take a look at yourself. Look to your motives and intentions in all that you do, for it is there that sin and error begin. Examine your resentments and oppositions and hostilities. Do we let the sun go down upon our wrath? Are we more concerned about ourselves than we are about Christ? Or do we confuse our own interests with the interests of Christ and his kingdom? This wisdom is hard to come by. Who is as the wise man? The Lord says, many are called, but few are chosen. And again, these things are hidden from the wise and prudent. That's the other kind of wise, the worldly wise. The people who are not wise with humility, with desire to know the truth. That is our first point, that the heavenly wisdom, the knowledge of the gospel, the saving knowledge of Christ, is something which is hard to come by and not very frequently found. Our second point was that it unfolds all mystery, does this wisdom of God. The gospel throws wide open to view the mystery of God and his grace. Who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? This is linked with wisdom. Who is as the wise man? Because it is the wise man who knows the interpretation of a thing. The thing is not specified here because we are dealing with an enigmatical book. A book which leads us to search and dig deeply that we may understand its purport, because it is indeed dealing with this hidden wisdom, which is not easily discoverable. And there are many who don't have the key. The gospel was the occasion of the unfolding of the great mystery of God in three persons. This is part of the interpretation of a thing, which the preacher in Ecclesiastes is bringing before us. Not that he himself knew much about the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, which was not revealed in his day, nor for many centuries afterwards. But then he was an inspired man, and very often spoke what he did not know, even as we are told that the Old Testament prophets and righteous men didn't understand many of the things of which they spoke. That it was reserved to our day, the gospel day, to unfold all mysteries and to interpret the thing. So the gospel was the occasion of the unfolding of the great mystery of God in three persons, the highest point of knowledge and of theology. Only through the coming of Christ as mediator and redeemer and as true man as well as God could it be clearly shown that there was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the Godhead. That's why you remember on a Sabbath evening some time ago, we were speaking on the Lord's words in the upper room on the night that he was betrayed. And he said, the time is come when I will show you plainly of the Father. For hitherto there was no plain doctrine. Nothing was plain about the doctrine of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Again, only because God became man could we see the true nature of sacrificing love. The Old Testament saints saw only the blood of bulls and goats. There was no love and inspiration in that, was there? You can go down to the slaughterhouses and see that any time. But these types were only pointing to the spotless Lamb of God. And when we see the sacrifice upon the cross and the blood of Christ flowing for our sin as a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness, only when God became man and so suffered and died, could we see the nature of his sacrificing love, the deep humility and meekness of the divine character, and his everlasting purpose to redeem. And so his heart was laid there. But who knoweth the interpretation of this thing, except those who were humble enough to be wise and babes enough for God to reveal it to them. Moreover, the gospel shows us the true nature of sin. This was understood in part from the beginning of the world, but never fully until the sin bearer came and was made a curse for us. It was the gospel, the hidden wisdom, which showed us the nature of sin and its only remedy. It is the gospel only which unfolds the two covenants, that under which we are lost and that by which we are saved. What a wisdom is this? What an interpretation is this? That we here this morning should be able to speak about the everlasting covenant of grace, the eternal love of God in Christ for his elect. Who knoweth the interpretation of this thing? Moreover, the gospel, word of wisdom, unfolds all the mystery of death and immortality. Again, the Old Testament saints knew that they would live forever. But they didn't know as we know. They didn't have that same information and light and intelligence upon the matter. That interpretation which has been given to us through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead and his ascension to the right hand of power. His promise of return to receive his people unto himself. This is the interpretation of a thing. The gospel unfolds all mysteries. Privileged indeed are we that we should gather together week by week to hear about these things. May this pulpit and desk be never used for any other purpose than that, than the interpretation of the thing, which is the only thing that matters in time and in eternity. Then our third head was that there is that in this wisdom of God which rejoices the heart. For the word says, a man's wisdom maketh his face to shine. And that is a figure which is always used in the Bible of happiness and joy, of good news. The wisdom which makes a man's face to shine must be wisdom indeed. There is much knowledge which only fills a man with anxiety and pain. But this wisdom makes the face to shine. For religion, that is true religion, is no formal or theoretical thing. It is not a thing of duty, of ritual, of tight church discipline. The formality of attendance and going through the forms of religion. For this wisdom which makes the face to shine is new life. It is the light of the kingdom beyond. For the wise man groans within himself waiting for the adoption, to wit, the complete redemption of soul and body in the world that is today. His face shines because it shines with the glorious hope of the life beyond and of the coming of the Lord. Why shouldn't his face shine? His face shines because this wisdom reveals the pardon of his sins. So that he asks the question, who is a pardoning God like thee, or who hath grace so rich and free? His face shines because he is acquainted and related to a God who hears and answers prayer. Hence David says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice. So God is revealed in this interpretation as a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. And above all, a man's wisdom makes his face to shine because this is the wisdom which discloses Christ in his character and work as our surety, our shepherd, our husband, and our friend. He comes forth as the mediator of the new covenant. He assumes all our obligations. His spirit breathes upon us and discloses to us eternal love. There are some who say to people whose faces shine with this divine wisdom, oh, these people are out of this world altogether. Have you heard them say that? Well, they never spoke a truer word. For these people are out of this world together, altogether. They are a people apart. They are kings and priests unto God. God has made their face to shine. And given them a heavenly joy and a heavenly mind. Why shouldn't they be out of this world altogether? And our concluding point was that this wisdom changes the soul's countenance. The boldness of his face shall be changed. The boldness of a man's face is his brazenness here. This expression is always used in the Bible of the hardihood of the sinner against God. The stubbornness of unbelief and impenitence. The boldness of his face. The man who faces God like the messengers of Sennacherib. What country has not been subdued by us? Their gods were not able to save them. And who is God that he should save you out of my hand? Men speak like that today. Who is the Lord? Who is this God? Oh, the boldness and brazenness of the faces of sinners in these days. Go round and look upon them. See them in your illustrated paper. These young men and women who've made a pile of money in a short space of time and then are found drowned in ponds, or their life done away with through a mixture of alcohol and barbiturates. Others again who are picked up with drugs even worse than these. Look at them in their filthy appearance, in their dirty garments very often, in their bedraggled hair, in faces which have become prematurely ugly and aged by vice and sin. Who would have the countenance of the sinner? When the divine wisdom makes the face to shine, and puts beauty even upon old age, and turns the lines of infirmity and suffering into something which points to heaven itself and paradise. Before the wisdom of the gospel is imparted with all its comfort of pardon, its revelation of Christ and heaven, its new form delight in eternal things. Before all this, there is a hardness of the soul, resisting the things of God, resenting the demands made upon it by the divine word and by conscience, bent upon living its own life, and at most giving to God only that which it deems its necessary tribute, as a person will pay his rates and taxes. Take that which is thine own, says the man in the parable, to his overlord. For thou art a hard man. I knew thee that thou wast an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown. There thou hast thy wages and thy reward. A little bit of religion, a little bit of hymn singing, a smattering of prayer, private and public, a satisfaction that this is enough. We paid our rates and taxes, and now we have our liberty to live just according to our own ideas. That's religion with too many. Is it yours, or is it mine? Take that which is thine own, O God, while I enjoy the rest. Be content to leave me to myself. Ah, the boldness of the face. Is the impudence and brazenness of a soul which is quite content to regard God as the government, whose function, once his demands are met, is to leave the citizen alone to live his own life in liberty, freedom from interference. That's the only God that many people know. But all that is changed by divine grace. The heavenly wisdom. The man who has the interpretation of a thing sees that we were formed for himself and his glory alone. That sin has denied to God his own glory. That mercy has been revealed. That the night is ended. A new day has dawned. The boldness of our face has been changed. We have received the adoption, been accepted in the Beloved. We have heard, my Beloved is mine, and I am his. That like the bride at the altar, surrendering there in solemn oath, surrendering her name, her liberty, her entire future to her Beloved One, yet perceiving that in that surrender she loses nothing, but gains all. So we stand in that relationship to Christ, in which we are nothing and he is all. He gives, we receive. His life ours, and ours his. He chose us, we did not choose him. In all this the fashion of the countenance is changed. A new heart and mind gives health to the countenance. This is the heavenly wine which makes glad the heart of man. This is the oil of gladness which maketh his face to shine, which once was hardened into the frown of sin and the ugly lines of pride and rage and hate. What blessings are ours in the gospel through the grace and mercy of Christ Jesus. Who is that as the wise man? Who amongst us knows the interpretation of a thing? For a man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. Amen.